Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As a wooden doll is made to dance by a magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to do so. Purport. This is the position of a pure devotee. One should not take any responsibility on his own, but should be a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who will then give him dictation as Chaitya Guru or the spiritual master within. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased to guide a devotee from within and without. From within, he guides him as the super soul, and from without, he guides him as the spiritual master. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Vidhitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. A very instructive and inspirational passage in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, everything in this text is inspirational and instructive, but each passage is perhaps instructive in a different way. Here, we understand how great transcendental literatures are composed. Transcendental literature is or cannot be the product of merely a bright mind or a genius, materially speaking. Transcendental literature can be composed only by one who is divinely empowered. It cannot happen otherwise. It is not just intellectual or academic brilliance that is the cause of the composition of transcendental literatures of the caliber of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. People who are not so qualified or so empowered may make attempts. Some may be sincere attempts, and Krishna will recognize those attempts of the devotee if the devotee is under the direction of the proper disciplic succession. But those who are not under the shelter of such disciplic succession and not sincere in their devotional spirit cannot produce anything that is worthwhile from a spiritual point of view, even if they are otherwise very skilled or talented. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described in the verses previous to this one how he was instructed by various elevated Vaishnavas in Vrindavan to compose the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he says that the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have already been compiled by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Mangal, which later was renamed as Chaitanya Bhagavat, because Lochan Das Thakur's book was also called Chaitanya Mangal. So he says, when the original Vyas of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Vrindavan Das Thakur, has already written so much, what remains for me to say, or how should I have the audacity to say anything, once Vrindavan Das Thakur has already spoken so eloquently and elaborately? However, he says that Vrindavan Das Thakur actually restrained himself. Why so? Vrindavan Das Thakur was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda also. And as he began narrating the pastimes and glories of Lord Nityananda, he got somewhat carried away, and those narrations became rather extensive. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur realized that his heart had flown in a certain direction, and the narrations of Nityananda Prabhu were so copiously described that he didn't have much space in the book left, so to speak, to talk elaborately about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur feared that the book would get too voluminous. So he restrained himself. He didn't narrate the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beyond the childhood pastimes so elaborately. So the need was felt in the community of devotees, in Vrindavan especially, that someone should very extensively describe the pastimes, the later pastimes especially, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they selected Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because they felt he was qualified. He was qualified from the point of view of his humility, his devotion, and all his other Vaishnava qualities. And also, very importantly, he had heard a great deal from Raghunath Das Goswami in Radhakund. You see, every evening Raghunath Das Goswami would narrate the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting on the banks of Radhakund. And all the Vaishnavas there would gather to hear these nectarian narrations. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was one amongst those Vaishnavas who would assemble there. Raghunath Das Goswami himself had not only personally obtained the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, but also he had heard from Swarup Damodar Goswami. Mahaprabhu had personally placed Raghunath Das Goswami under the shelter of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was his Shiksha Guru. And he told Swarup, now you have to take charge of Raghunath Das. Swarup Damodar, of course, was one of the very intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had also maintained his notes. So Raghunath Das Goswami used to speak for hours together. So Kaviraj Goswami had heard these things with rapt attention. So therefore the Vaishnavas considered that Kaviraj Goswami would be the most qualified person. However, it is the nature of great Vaishnavas that even though the whole world, and especially the community of devotees, may think them to be very qualified, they think themselves to be utterly unqualified. And that is what actually makes for one's qualification. When one thinks that one is qualified, then one is actually not qualified. So the world of Vaishnavas is a kind of a strange world from the point of view of ordinary vision. And yet, because The devotee is very humble and surrendered to the devotees. So when the devotees instruct the Vaishnava to do something, then he is obliged to do it. So such was the background and the circumstance in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami felt compelled to begin this great work, his magnum opus, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He mentions the names of some of the devotees who personally ordered him to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And at the same time, he felt the need also to take the blessings of his worshipable deity there in Vrindavan, Sri Madan Mohan. He also, of course, Govindadev was also his worshipable deity, but this time he specifically came to Madan Mohan's temple. And as he came there, of course, we have seen in the previous verses, the Lord in the deity form gave his assent and blessings by letting the garland from his neck drop down. And Kaviraj Goswami took that to be a signal from the Lord that he had accorded his blessings. And then Kaviraj Goswami here states in a very prayerful mood that he is not actually qualified, but he is going to write only as the Lord makes him write. In the previous verse he had said, actually Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my writing, but the dictation of Sri Madan Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. He continues in similar vein by saying here that as a wooden doll is made to dance by a magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to do so. So the spiritual realm is a very fascinating realm, a very mystical realm. Things happen very mystically when it comes to pure devotees. Sometimes even the pure devotees may not themselves be able to understand how things happen. But the Lord works through these pure devotees in most wonderful and incredible ways to achieve or accomplish things that are quite extraordinary. Kaviraj Goswami's work is indeed highly extraordinary from any which way you look at it. He was also very, very old at this time, invalid, infirm, as he claims elsewhere in the text. His eyesight was weak. His hands were trembling because of old age. He was hardly able to see anything. He was bent over with old age. Despite all these physical infirmities, he continued to write, and his intelligence and memory was crystal clear. Usually when old age sets in, the symptoms of senility also start coming in. One starts becoming forgetful, and one's this sense of discrimination also becomes diminished. But Kaviraj Goswami's faculties were in complete control and order. But as he says himself, they were not in his control, they were in the control of Sri Madan Mohan. We find this theme of the devotee considering himself to be a puppet in the hands of the Lord when he speaks something or when he writes something. The episode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing very deep philosophical points with Ramananda Rai on the banks of the Godavari, as narrated by Mahaprabhu, comes to mind. This is one of those iconic or historical conversations that we must all preserve and study. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself didn't pen any works. The only works that are actually attributed to him directly are the Shikshashtakam verses, the 8 verses. But he taught his disciples and his followers extensively. And through them, his teachings have been brought out to the entire world. His conversations with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakash Ananda Saraswati and Ramananda Rai, for instance, are very, very important conversations through which he has brought out and elucidated some of the deepest theological and philosophical points. Because the Lord likes to give credit to his devotees, and he accomplishes wonderful things through his devotees. He likes to do that. He likes to see his devotees being glorified. So he came to the banks of the Godavari when he was on his pilgrimage soon after having taken sannyas. And he came there and met Ramananda Rai, who was the governor of that province, and who also was a very exalted devotee of the Lord. The two personalities met there. They were overwhelmed by transcendental emotion. They embraced each other. Tears of ecstasy started flowing from their eyes. And then they held themselves back because they saw that the assistants of Ramananda Rai were looking on quite bewildered, because they had never seen the governor doing such things. A governor is generally a position of dignity, and a governor in public always behaves in a certain dignified way. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai decided to meet in solitude at a certain time and place. So when they met, Mahaprabhu asked many questions to Ramananda Rai. So this conversation is called the Ramananda Rai Samvad, or Ramananda Samvad amongst the society of Vaishnavas. Samvad means a dialogue or a conversation. So the very first thing Mahaprabhu asked him is about Sadhyara Nirnaya. Kaho Sadhyara Nirnaya. Sadhya means the ultimate goal of life. Nirnaya means the ascertainment. So please tell me clearly, what is the ultimate goal of life? And from then begins a mystical journey on which Ramananda Rai is taken by the Lord very cleverly. He takes him to higher and higher and higher levels, stratospheric levels, as he goes on. Ramananda Rai starts by mentioning the goal of life as being following the Varnashrama Dharma principles. When Mahaprabhu says no, he goes on and says, well, all right, Krishna Karma Arpana, to renounce the fruits of one's actions and surrender them to Krishna. He says, no, go ahead. Then he goes on to talk about Svadharma Tyag, when one renounces even one's Varnashrama duties and surrenders to Krishna. Mahaprabhu says, go ahead. Aage kaho aur, eho bahiye, this is external, go on. And then Ramananda Rai comes to the point of describing Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Mahaprabhu says, no, go on. Then he says, Prema Bhakti. He says, go on further. Then he talks of Dasya Prem, Dasya Prem meaning the love in the mood of servitude. Go on ahead. Sakya Prem, love in the mood of a friend. No, go on. Actually, before that he talks about Jnana Shunya Bhakti, before he comes to Prema Bhakti, wherein he speaks about the process of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. And that's the first time Mahaprabhu says, Eho Hai. Yes, that's right, but still go ahead. And then he talks about Prema Bhakti and Dasya Prema, Sakya Prema, Vatsalya Prema, eventually coming to Madhurya Prema, the love of the gopis for Krishna. And Mahaprabhu is satisfied, but still not satisfied. He says, it's wonderful, what you have said is exquisite, but still go ahead. And Ramananda Rai says, I have never known anyone in the world who could inquire about anything beyond this. But nevertheless, because you're asking me to do so, I will do so. And then he goes on to speak about Srimati Radharani as being the topmost gopi, the topmost exemplar even of the Madhurya Bhav, the Madhurya Prem, love in the conjugal mood. And when he finishes that description, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to know more. He says, "Thank you, you have enlightened me today and made me understand things which I never knew. Now my visit to your place is successful. But nevertheless, I wish to know more. Krishna Rasvarupa Kaho Radha Rasvarup Rasa Kono Tattva Prema Kono Tattva Rup. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Also explain the truth of transcendental mellows and the transcendental form of love of Godhead. Kindly explain all these truths to me. But for you yourself, no one can explain them to me." So Mahaprabhu was taking the role of a disciple or of a student when he himself was actually Ramananda Rai's worshipable Lord and his Guru. So now Ramananda Rai, as it is, being stunned by the kind of queries that Mahaprabhu has made and the fact that he's urging him on to higher and higher levels and further elaborations on transcendence, now replies, "Rai kahe iho ami kichui na jani, tumi jai kahao shei kohi ami vani." Srila Ramananda Rai replied, "I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak." And then he goes on and says, "Tomara shikhae puri jana shukopat, shakhadishara tumi ke bujhe tomara naat." I simply repeat like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Who can understand your dramatic performance? Hridaye prerana kara jivaye kahau vani, ki ke kohiye bhala mando kichui na jani. You inspire me within the heart and make me speak with the tongue. I do not know whether I am speaking well or badly. Now please note that this was the first time externally, or at least from the external point of view, that Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had met. So when Ramananda Rai says, "I simply repeat like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me," obviously it wasn't in manifest Leela, because this was the first time they were meeting and Mahaprabhu had not given any instructions to Ramananda Rai. So Ramananda Rai clarifies and says, "Yes, you gave it to me internally." Prabhupada, in the purport for the verse for today, speaks about how Krishna is the original Guru sitting in the heart of everybody. And he instructs us and guides us as a Chaitya Guru. And Krishna's guidance as the Chaitya Guru is clearly understood by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. For those whose hearts are filled with unwanted things, the anarthas, it may be hard to discern the voice of the Lord within. And one may think the voice of one's own mind to be the voice of the Lord, and one may mistakenly act. For the pure devotees, however, whose hearts are clean, transparent, the urgings of the super soul in the heart, the Chaitya Guru, are very clear. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadame buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that for one who is constantly serving me with love, I seated within his heart give him the instructions or the understanding of how he can approach me. So for pure devotees, such instructions are given from within. So when Ramananda Rai says that Mahaprabhu is playing the role of a human being and of a Mayavadi sannyasi. He says, I am just a Mayavadi sannyasi. What do I know about these transcendental mellows and loving service to the Lord? I simply float in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. I don't know anything of all that you're saying. It's only due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that I have understood something about it. My mind has become enlightened. And I asked him about the truths of these mellows, these rasas, and he told me to come to you, Ramananda Rai. So because Bhattacharya told me that these topics are known only to you, so after hearing your glories, O Ramananda Rai, from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, have I come here to hear from you. But you unnecessarily praise me, perhaps because I'm a sannyasi. So you are duty bound to praise a sannyasi. And then Mahaprabhu speaks this famous verse. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene nai jai krishna tattva vetta shai guru hai. It doesn't matter if one is a brahmana or one is a sannyasi or one is a shudra. If one knows the science of Krishna, then one is fit to be a guru. So Ramananda Rai was not born in a Brahmin family. So Mahaprabhu wanted to make this point to the whole world. It doesn't matter what your birth is, what your background is. If you know the science of Krishna, you are a fit candidate to instruct others about this. So don't cheat me, Ramananda, Mahaprabhu said, thinking me to be a learned sannyasi. Please go on describing the truths of Radha and Krishna. And then Ramananda Rai says, of course his mind was very agitated. Kaviraj Goswami says, Sri Ramananda Rai was a great devotee of the Lord and a lover of God. And although his mind could not be covered by Krishna's illusory energy, and although he could understand the mind of the Lord, which was very strong and intense, Ramananda's mind became a little agitated. Then he says, Rai kahe ami nata tumi sutradhar, jai moto nachao tai che chahi nachibar. Sri Ramananda Rai said, I am just a dancing puppet, and you pull the strings. Whichever way you make me dance, I will dance. Mora jivva bina jantra tumi bina dhari tomara mone jai uthe tahai uchari. My dear Lord, my tongue is just like a stringed instrument and you are its player. Therefore, I simply vibrate whatever arises in your mind. So Ramananda Rai further went on to speak then on Krishna Tattva. So we see here the views expressed by Ramananda Rai. He says, my tongue is like a stringed instrument. My dear Lord, whatever you wish me to speak, my tongue just moves. What do I know what I am speaking? I don't even know whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's sense or it's nonsense. I don't know. I simply speak what you make me speak. So I'm just a puppet. You can make me dance as you like. This is also Krishnadas Kaviraj's mood here. I'm just a wooden doll that's made to dance by a magician, and you are that transcendental magician, O Madan Mohan. So whichever way you want to make me dance, please make me dance. Srila Prabhupada also speaks something very similarly. When Prabhupada embarked on his long and arduous ship voyage from Calcutta to the Boston Harbor and eventually New York, when the ship was in the Atlantic, he wrote his famous song, Markine Bhagavat Dharma. In Bengali, America is called Markin. So Markine means in America. So Markine Bhagavat Dharma means spreading Bhagavad Dharma in America. That was the title of this song. And Prabhupada wrote this song in a mood of great trepidation, hesitation, apprehension. His mood was, my dear Lord, where are you taking me? You're taking me to a land where nobody has heard of Bhagavad Dharma. There is not the slightest semblance or trace of Bhagavad Dharma to be found there. How will I ever be able to make these people understand what you want them to understand? I feel myself utterly unqualified in this task. And one of the verses he sings there is, Ani acho jodi prabhu amara nachate, nachao nachao prabhu nachao se mote. Ani acho jodi prabhu amare nachate. If you have brought me here to dance, O Lord, nachao nachao prabhu nachao se mote, then make me dance whichever way you like me to dance. Kashthera puttoli jatha nachao se mote, make me dance like a wooden doll. So it will be my great privilege and ecstasy to dance the way you want me to dance. Again, similar to what Kaviraj Goswami is saying here. So Srila Prabhupada was in his mood of utter dependence on the Supreme Lord. And this is what is empowerment. Empowerment means confidence. This is a peculiar thing, self-confidence. How does a Vaishnava develop self-confidence? And how does a materialist develop self-confidence? A materialist develops self-confidence by his own abilities. And surely some of them have remarkable abilities. You can have charismatic orators, you can have super intelligent geniuses who may do wonderful things. And their self-confidence has nothing to do with God, at least from their point of view. Of course, even their empowerment comes from Krishna. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Buddhir Buddhimatam Asmi, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Tejas Tejasvinamaham, I am the prowess of the powerful. Balam Balavatam Chaham, I am the strength of the strong. Paurusham Rishu, I am the ability in man. So even for the materialists, their ability comes from Krishna, but they don't realize it. The pure devotees realize it. So the confidence that the devotees apparently have is not confidence in their own ability. On the other hand, actually speaking, the pure devotees have no confidence in their own ability. As Kaviraj Goswami is emphasizing here. But they have complete confidence in Krishna's mercy. They understand that Krishna is the omnipotent, all-merciful, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if Krishna empowers me, then I can do anything. But if Krishna takes away that empowerment, then I will not be able to do anything. So this is the mood. So Srila Prabhupada had complete faith in Krishna's empowerment, in Krishna's mercy. And therefore, he was praying in this way. We also see Prabhupada making different statements at different times. One time, I believe, he said that the purports that he wrote in the Srimad Bhagavatam were actually dictated by Krishna. Haribol, Rupa Vilas Prabhu. Am I right? Did Prabhupada say that one time? He said that his purports were dictated by Krishna.
Yeah, he said that he had written
dictated, but actually written by Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that these purports, they were written by Krishna. And one time he said that, I personally read, I get great joy in reading my own books, and I'm startled when I read. Because these are not my works, these are Krishna's works. So I'm startled to see what I have written, and I realize, yes, it's not me, it's Krishna who has written this. So his purports, they were his devotional ecstasies. He said that one time also. So these devotional ecstasies descend from the transcendental realm. That's not mundane happiness. So Srila Prabhupada used to relish his own purports and his own books because he understood their transcendental origin. Another example that comes to mind is that of Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan. He was a Shiksha disciple of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. One time, the Ramanandi devotees, who were from the Ramananda Sampradaya, which is like an offshoot of the Sri Sampradaya headed by Ramanujacharya, they had a strong representation in the state of Rajasthan, where the Vaishnava Rajput kings resided. And when the deities, original deities of Krishna, the Goswami's deities, were transferred from Vrindavan to different parts of Rajasthan out of fear of the invading Mughals, the deity of Govindadev came to Jaipur. And the deity became very popular, and the king also was a great devotee, and the pujaris were the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who came from Vrindavan. And they started developing some influence over the king, much to the alarm of the Ramanandis. So they tried to prevail upon the king to reject the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And one of the arguments they made was, these people are not bona fide. Their sampradaya, the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, is not bona fide. So the king was a little confused. He didn't know what to do. He liked the Gaudiya Vaishnavas very much. But here was something that he felt himself incapable of dealing with. So he sent a message to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was the senior most Gaudiya Vaishnava in Braj. And he was the leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. At that time, however, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very old, and he was not in a physical condition to make the journey to Jaipur. So he told his Shiksha disciple, Baladev, you please go and deal with these Ramanandis and present the proper Gaudiya conclusions. So when Baladev reached Jaipur, it was like he was in the middle of a storm. There was tumultuous discussion and argument, heated argument in front of the king. The Ramanandis were very aggressively stating that the Gaudiyas were not bona fide. And they said, oh, your highness, these people don't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And that is the hallmark of a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya. All the four Vaishnava Sampradayas have a commentary, but they don't. Baladev Vidyabhushan tried to explain that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not feel the need for a commentary, because the author of the Vedanta Sutra, Vyasadeva, had himself written the commentary, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was therefore a natural commentary. Bhashyanam Brahma Sutranam, the Bhagavatam says. So then one of the Ramanandis said, just see, he has admitted that they don't have a commentary. So therefore, how can they be bona fide? So now Baladev Vidyabhushan didn't have a choice. He said, all right, I'll bring you the commentary, just give me some time. So they were really suspicious. How can that be? These people don't have a commentary. And he says, I'm going to bring it. So he's lying. But they had to take him at face value. At least for the time being, they were quiet. So, all right, we'll wait. So then Baladev Vidyabhushan went back, and his mind was really in a whirl. What do I do now? I have to save the prestige of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and I have to re-establish the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu properly. So then he went and to pray to his guru, and also to Govindadev. Some people say that he did this for a week. He took a week to write the commentary. Some people say a month, some people say 3 months. Well, either way, even if it was 3 months, that is a really short time to write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. When you know that every word you speak is going to be taken apart and analyzed by different people. But nevertheless, that was done. And how was it done? After the whole commentary was completed, Baladev Vidya Bhushan went there in front of the king, and the Ramanandi scholars had assembled also. And then he began narrating and elaborating on the Govinda, on the commentary, which he had called Govinda Bhashya for reasons I'll just mention in a few moments. The Ramanandis were wonderstruck. They couldn't believe their ears. And finally, they actually accepted it. And they respected Baladev Vidya Bhushan and glorified him, and actually many of them wanted to be his disciples. And with great magnanimity, he said, No. You see, you are all connected to the Sri Sampradaya of Ramanujacharya. So it would be an offense for me to try to initiate you again, because you are already initiated in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya. This is not the proper etiquette. It would be what is called Maryada Vyatikraman. I would be flouting the etiquette of Vaishnavas. So you please continue. All I wanted to do was to establish that our Sampradaya is a bona fide Sampradaya. So at that time and place, these Ramanandis and all the other Vaishnavas gave the title of Vidya Bhushan to Baladev. Bhushan means ornament. Vidya means knowledge. He whose ornament is transcendental knowledge. From then on, he became known as Baladev Vidya Bhushan. So afterwards, after this episode, he wrote an addendum to this book, in which he explained how that book was written and why he named it as Govinda Bhashya. So in that addendum, he speaks a Sanskrit verse which he says, Vidya Rupam Bhushanam Ye Pradaya. He says, I have been accorded the designation of Vidya Bhushan. Baladev Vidya Bhushan. Khatim Nitya Tenoyo Mamudaraha Shri Govinda Svapna Nirdishto Bhashye Radha Bandurangaha Sajiyat. Actually, Shri Govinda Dev Svapna Nirdishto Bhashye. So he appeared to me in my dream and revealed this whole commentary on the Vedanta Sutra to me. And this commentary, the same commentary which is so highly regarded by all the scholars. So therefore, all glories, all victory to that Sri Govinda, who is the very life and soul of Srimati Radharani. And therefore, I'm giving the title Govinda Bhashya to this book, because this Bhashya or commentary is not my commentary. It's the commentary of Govinda Dev, because he revealed it to me in my dream. When Baladev Vidya Bhushan had come from Jaipur, or from the assembly where this whole discussion had gone on with the Ramanandis the first time, he had gone to the temple of Govinda Dev to beg for blessings and mercy. And at that time, also a similar thing happened that had happened for Kaviraj Goswami. The garland from the neck of the deity fell down. And the pujari then took the deity and garlanded Baladev Vidya Bhushan. And Baladev understood that this was the blessings of the Lord. So striking similarities between different pastimes in connection with the great acharyas. And then he got courage. And he sat down in an isolated place for whatever period of time it was, a week or a month or 3 months. And then there came the Govinda Bhashya. So we see how the pure devotees come up with these extraordinary compositions, because they are empowered by the Supreme Lord. The Lord is pleased to give such empowerment, being pleased with their utter dependence on Him and their humility and devotion. And we see these sentiments being expressed by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami here. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Are there any comments or questions?